Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour. I'd like to say hello to all the folks out there who are listening on the Wind Talkers Radio Network. I appreciate you carrying the show and helping us spread the truth around the planet. You don't know how happy it makes me. You do now, because I just told you. And also the folks on blogtalkradio.com, we appreciate the fact that you are going to great efforts to carry this show, get it to people in the military around the world, as well as other regular folks just like us here in the United States. We are heard on every continent now and have been. We're also on satellite, and I understand that lots of micro-broadcasters in the United States are picking up the show, as well as in Canada. We don't mention Canada quite often enough, and I want to do that. I want to address a number of emails. Thank you for your compliments on the recent article. It's going viral, so to speak. In fact, the article itself is a pandemic. And I'm speaking about my writing from yesterday that I posted up on my website, directlightproductions.com. It's the top article when you go to the articles index page. Dr. Orley Tate's federal lawsuits exposed to the flu pandemic. And I reveal some interesting things about some background connections there that really have to raise a lot of questions. We may talk about that a little bit tonight, but I want to just thank all the people that have sent encouragement and thanks for us telling the truth that the mainstream media doesn't dare touch. And there'll be more follow-up on this and another dimension of the same thing, although I want to make it perfectly clear that I'm not going to be dwelling excessively on the Hawaiian-Kenyan birth certificate issue, because it's nothing but two lies that are being put out there for us to become divided and argumentative. And that's not what this is about. When we show you the truth, hopefully you'll see it. If you don't, then you've got to do some research. We're not asking you to believe anything. Do your own research. You'll find that you'll start to get the picture of what's going on. And certainly, if you trust us to give you the truth, then don't question whether or not we're giving you the truth. We do it at all times the best that we possibly can. There's a lot of disinformation going on out there. There are what we call psyops, or little intel-created diversions, myths, lies, scams, scandals, you name it. It's going on. We have to put up enough with what the government is doing or not doing. And I'm sure you all have these problems in your own countries. I've been to many countries around the world, and I know that the people aren't happy with what the government does in their particular country as well. That said, we're going to go right into introducing tonight's guest, so I don't take up all the time on a rant. He is a health scientist. He is also an herbalist, a historian, and a musician, and a music producer. And he's our good friend, Michael Anthony. Michael, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Hi, good morning, Don. Great to be here. Thank you.
Okay, make sure you stay on top of your mic also, Michael, so we get a good, clear signal.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I think you could be a little bit louder. You were louder when we were doing our sound check.
Okay, how's that?
That's a little better. Okay.
Exactly.
You tend to be a kind of soft-spoken guy until you get to your trademark phrase.
That's true.
Hang them
yes,
fast.
Am
would you say that for me? Hang them fast and hang them high.
God bless the USA. to hell with old traders and hang them fast and hang them high.
There you go. All right. Well, I'm already receiving chat messages. In some parts of the world, we have to say good morning to you. Even though I say good evening, I'm referring to West Coast time because on Pacific Coast time, it is just a little bit after 10 p.m. in the evening. We're actually on two different days right now. We're on Wednesday and Thursday simultaneously. So it becomes confusing, but for us right now, it's dark. For the other side of the world, it's already well into midday, and except for Western Europe. They're in the early morning hours right now. The sun is either just coming up or about to come up. Well, Michael, there's been a lot. It's been a while since you've been on the show. A lot of things happening, and I'd like to get into a little bit of a past discussion that you and I have had regarding flu pandemics and those sorts of things. Now, we're not fear-mongering. The media is doing that. But you've been following, I'm sure, to some extent, the scuttlebutt about forced vaccinations, how dangerous they are. And it's interesting how the research I've been doing in the last 24 hours actually ties into this. There were people masquerading as, let's say, one of the three musketeers coming to rescue us from this travesty that's occurring in Washington. And at the same time, there are connections to pharmaceutical companies and connections to the bird flu vaccine specifically. And a lot of people are talking, there's division now. Is this real? Are they planning on doing this? And we have a lot of new listeners tonight. And I think a good starting point would be, again, I'm going to ask you to relate to the listeners the story that you have about this document that came out from IBM Corporation. Would you do that?
Yes, Don, certainly. You're referring to a document that I discussed with you a while back, and I've had it at least for 5 years now already. And it was for IBM upper-level management in France. And it was regarding the bird flu and IBM's response to handling and treating their employees. And it was clear that they anticipated this pandemic to come around in three phases with 12-week intervals, which was very interesting, of course, since it's supposed to be an unknown disease, unprecedented, and yet they seem to already know it was going to arrive in three phases with 12-week intervals, clearly indicating they knew all about it in advance because they were planning on it.
Okay, now, can I interrupt here, and let's just pause for a second. Can we go back? This is at least five years ago you're talking about this, right?
Already, sure. At least 5 years, yes.
And were we not going through some kind of a SARS epidemic scare at that time?
Yes, Don, that's correct. And when I mentioned that I was bird flu and it was really SARS the last time on the show, that's correct. Early stages of SARS in communist China, they were all walking around with mouth covers, like a surgeon mask.
Like Michael Jackson, you mean?
Excuse me?
Like Michael Jackson.
Yeah, and you know, just coincidentally, a couple months back at the local post office, there was a Oriental girl, maybe Chinese, wearing one in the post office.
Hmm. Well, yeah, I've been in some post offices where I wish I would have had one of those masks with me, actually.
Yes, but it was curious, and, you know, why she was wearing that. And nobody asked her anything. I was tempted to, but I didn't either. But there you go. Is that a shadow of what's coming this way? I hope not.
Well, there are some people, you know, it depends on the time of season. I'm not going to say that she necessarily was wearing it, you know, related to what we're talking about. She could be asthmatic or she could be somebody who's got an allergy, is allergic to pollen or allergic to the glue on the back of a postage stamp. You know.
So. Well, I know quite a few people like that, Don, over the years, and I've never seen anybody wearing surgeon mask over the mouth, you know, through the normal activities of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Especially out in public.
Was it possible that that was actually Michael Jackson that walked into the post office?
No, this girl looked human.
Oh, okay. All right, okay. Well, so much for that girl. Okay. All right. So now I sort of ruined your rhythm there in a sense, but I wanted to clarify. You're talking about 5 years ago, there was a directive to higher ups at IBM France that mm-hmm. there were going to be three stages of a pandemic. Now, would you describe what was to occur in each one of these stages and to whom this letter was addressed?
Well, this was a, upper-level management memorandum regarding the bird flu pandemic erupting and how IBM was to handle their employees. And it was clear that all the employees that were considered infected would have to be remaining on IBM premises indefinitely, quarantined on IBM site indefinitely.
Now, were they going to put them in front of a computer, or were they going to put them in an empty room?
Well, I'm sure they'd like to keep them working until they drop.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big global corporation with no regard. We're just human resources to them. So I imagine they'd be quite happy if they continued working while they were quarantined on site until they could no longer function.
Mm-hmm. Now, just for the listeners, Can you give us any background on what kind of work IBM France did? And let me preface it with a comment. When I was doing some investigating of a particular individual that worked at IBM Haifa, which is in Israel, you and I asked you about that. You said, "Oh, they don't have an IBM in Haifa," and I said, "You better check because you know according to a." A memorial service for Daniel Lewin, who supposedly died in Flight 11 that struck, it was the first airplane to strike into the World Trade Center, according to the official story. He died, and he was trained at Technion College, and then at he worked at IBM Haifa and was developing algorithms for some computer software. Which ended up coming out with MIT, and there was a lot. There were billions of dollars that he was actually in line to receive, and since there was no Flight 11, and that flight hadn't flown for 18 months, that flight didn't hit the World Trade Center. In fact, there were no passenger records for Flight 11, and the reason I bring this up is because. In Haifa, he supposedly was creating these algorithms for what's known as Akamai Technologies ghost servers, okay? And these are probably being used by the Pentagon. They were developed at MIT. Now, do you know specifically what type of work within IBM they were doing in France?
IBM essentially semiconductor manufacturing, Don. And we, at the time, I say we as an employee at the time, made a variety of chips for certain applications. I was mainly research development in advanced chips for high-end stuff, military, we figured, for sure. And we had counterparts in France. So semiconductor manufacturing at that time frame was what IBM was all geared up for. Now, the bottom line, out of all of their interests with computers, supercomputers that IBM was fabricating,
mm-hmm.
the genome project seems to be their most important and labor-intensive project.
The genome project. Okay, for our listeners, can you, in one or two sentences, explain what that is?
The genome project is essentially the mapping out of all the genes on every species on the planet. and in particular human beings, of course, which are fairly complex, and they needed very sophisticated supercomputers to complete that task. It took quite a few decades for the technology to evolve to the point where now they're closing in on it. They feel confident that they have everything as far as genes, genetics, chromosomes, DNA, RNA, all broken down and recorded digitally in the computers for ultimate research and development as to manipulating genes.
Mm-hmm.
And when you read the book IBM and the Holocaust, which came out, I think, already about 5 years ago as well, and that book clearly shows that IBM was involved with the Nazis, and the Nazis were using their tabulating machines of the time for statistics, data handling.
Mm-hmm.
And that had a lot to do with prisoners and genetic research.
Yeah. Very interesting. This almost directly ties in with my discovery yesterday, Dr. Orly Tate's husband has a company that works with Novartis. And they're doing all sorts of, you're a chemist. I really don't want to read the whole thing. I would rather you go to my site and read it. But basically they can offer, all the range of, chemical information, capabilities related to, direct storage, retrieval of 2D and 3D structures, reactions, and mixtures. And they offer operations in the area of high-performance searching of full structure, substructure, superstructure, similarity, and other structural operations. They integrate this software that Dr. Tate's husband uses with the Oracle 8i database servers. So they brag, or they boast, that they can do searching and retrieval of over 9 million compounds with lightning speed.
Right.
Okay, so you're looking at, this fits in with what you're talking about. Now, is it possible that we can get somehow a facsimile of this document?
Yes, Don, I will. I do have that buried away somewhere, and I know I still have it.
Mm-hmm.
And I promise you, I will dig that up and get you a copy.
All right. Let me know if you need a shovel, okay?
Yes. Well, I've got plenty of them. I've been using them the last few days quite a bit. But, yes, I will, Don. I know you requested that the last time, and it's just been nonstop since I last spoke with you. But I will definitely dig that up for you.
Okay. And we're getting confirmation on IBM in Haifa, by the way, through the chat messages. We've got a Marine out there that's confirming it, address and all. So we're telling the truth, folks. This is not an exaggeration. And you have no motive for sharing that with the audience other than to let them know that this is something that's been in the works for some time. And when they're talking about getting rid of millions or billions of people through forced vaccinations or lab-created pandemics, you take it seriously, don't you?
Yes, sir, Don. Very serious. And especially when it becomes obvious that they're hell-bent on creating a pandemic.
Oh, yes, there's no doubt about it. We got reports a couple of months ago on this show. I can't remember if you were on the show that night, but I had a report about chips arriving at the hospitals, that they were going to start injecting them into patients. And I had received word that a particular patient overheard the conversation and confronted the doctor about it, and the doctor made this snide remark like, "Oh, well, we're not going to do that tonight. You don't have to do that tonight."
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it had an eerie tone, a foreboding tone, like it was something that she was eventually going to have to face.
I can, when you quoted that doctor, I'm just thinking of Dr. Joseph Mengele saying that?
Oh, funny you should mention that name. Funny you should mention that name, because the kind of research he was doing could very well be behind the creation of Barack Obama, believe it or not. We know that they've been advertising, and this became very big. You remember Ronald Reagan's funeral a couple of years ago?
Yes.
And they were talking about stem cell research.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was rather unusual when you're doing a memorial speech about Ronald Reagan's life that you should have to throw stem cell research into your soliloquy. I just found it really strange, other than they're trying to use that opportunity, knowing that people are paying attention. Oh, yes, if we would have had stem cell research, Ronald Reagan would be alive. Yet very few even stop to consider that likely they had given him Alzheimer's so that Daddy Bush could do his dirty deeds.
Yes, you know, Daddy Bush couldn't bump him off with the Hinckley assassin, so sure, let's get him sick. Alzheimer's, that's perfect. No memory at all about anything. Boy.
Yeah.
Makes it real convenient.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Ronald Reagan's not here to defend himself, but he obviously played a major role in their plans, because they saw fit to bring him out of his B acting career. They figured that, well, if he could be that popular as a B actor, we could use a guy like that in the White House. To be a puppet, yeah. To be an actor, right?
Well, I'll tell you, Don, I recall President Reagan becoming nominated as a Republican nominee for president back then. And I vividly recall that when when G.W. Bush, Daddy Bush, Hair Bush, showed up as his vice president, he was not happy. And I could tell back then that Reagan was told, probably by the Rockefellers, congratulations, Mr. Reagan, on your nomination. Here is your vice president running mate. Because now, also, Reagan flatly stated prior to the nomination that he would never select Bush as his vice president candidate, as his mate.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he ends up with it, and I knew I could tell that he just was not happy about it. He was forced to accept it if he wanted to be president.
Mm-hmm.
And so they used him for as much as they could and manipulate him, but I believe he wasn't playing ball all the way. That's why they had to shoot him.
Yeah. Well, Bush couldn't hold himself back. He wanted to be, you know, at the head of the round table in the situation room. And you recall Alexander Haig's response?
Yes.
You know, I'm in charge here. Don't worry, I'm in control. And Bush was very upset with that.
Mm-hmm.
That ploy. Bush was nowhere to be seen. Conveniently, he had disappeared.
Yes.
So that he couldn't be blamed. But it bears pointing out. It's worth pointing out to our listeners that Bush was the former business partner of John Hinckley Sr. And that night, Neil Bush had made arrangements to have dinner with Hinckley's other son and his wife at Neil Bush's place in Denver. It's amazing how these facts come out, and no one can sink any teeth into all of that.
Well, Don, just on another tangent, old man Hinckley, business partners, I believe, still with KinderCare.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
KinderCare.
Yes.
So we have KinderCare, and we have the Estes School, and we have all these mind control schools for little children, so they can indoctrinate them early. They can get them into their satanic pedophile programs if they can swing it. And if not, they turn him over to Barney Frank, and he makes use of him at his little hostel in Washington, D.C.
And how sad this is that it's true.
Yes, it is true. And You know, we've talked about, you and I have talked about the Franklin cover-up. John DeCamp, former U.S. Congressman John DeCamp, who was an excellent attorney and an advocate for the victims in Lincoln, Nebraska. Of course, the Franklin cover-up involved a character by the name of Larry King, but it's not the CNN talk show host.
Right.
This was an individual that stole over $38 million from the Franklin savings, or Lincoln savings, excuse me, in Lincoln, Nebraska. And the Franklin cover-up was a book, and it came out in a documentary DVD and on video. It was called Conspiracy of Silence. And when that story broke, and it was in 1989, the Washington Times, I believe, carried the article, and they had the CIA and the FBI go out and pick up all the copies. I heard they had sent out as many as 3,000 agents to sweep all the copies, but they didn't all get picked up, did they?
Conveniently not.
Yeah. Conveniently, you think, or... you know, this came out and nothing was done about it. Now,
sure, for them it was very convenient.
Yeah. The head of the CIA at that time, who had worked with quite closely with John DeCamp on that, was found drowned in the Potomac River and with a half-eaten meal on his plate in his home. These stories just abound out of all this corruption. And the same thing is going on now in the biological warfare arena. You've got all of these microbiologists, hundreds, who have turned up having committed suicide. What are the odds of that, do you think?
It's obviously all connected, and all these biologists were more into disease-oriented laboratory work.
Mm-hmm.
And so they must all know something in order for them to have to be snuffed out, either the plan or having access to antidotes that mm-hmm. really would work. Something along those lines is has to be the reason or the rationale for all of those biologists' deaths.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they have. It's likely that they know something very damaging, right? I mean,
right.
they would. They're individuals who have probably been outspoken about what's going on to some extent when they learned what the nature of their work was. You know, if you're told one thing and then you talk to someone else, maybe in another company or in another bureau doing parallel research along a certain line, you know, they don't give everybody all the pieces of the puzzle.
Yes, it's all compartmentized.
Yes.
And that's what happens probably a lot of times. They don't really know what they're working on until late when the results come in. And then they realize, hey, this could be used for harm. And, yeah, a lot of them probably came to that conclusion just before they more than likely had to get terminated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The list. I've gotten a copy of the list and I've read through many of the stories, and it's just heart wrenching to think that these people are being taken out because they know something that they don't want us to know. But the truth is going to come out anyway. They didn't have to die.
Yes, Don. Well, Don, the truth always comes out because it has to, by God's order of, that's one of his main attributes, truth. And they can't kill truth. They can only kill the messengers. And kill is what they do. They have no regard for life at all.
Yes.
They are pathetically evil, empty, soulless creatures.
Yes.
And that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time that they all go. I mean, it's their time has to be coming up quick.
Yeah. Okay, Michael, we have a caller on the line here. Would you like to take a call from one of our listeners?
Absolutely, great.
Okay, we've got on the line Kenneth in North Carolina. Kenneth, welcome to Evident Footprints. Do you have a comment or question for our guest, Michael Anthony?
Well, I got for both of you. You're doing a great job. You brought up Ronald Reagan. You remember when he was in the United Nations making that speech about aliens?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, sir.
I believe that he has either thrown us a hint or something, because when he said that, it hit me back then when he did say it, and that he had been in touch probably with the evil ones, I think.
Well, can I jump right in and follow up with that?
Sure, go ahead.
Right.
That speech at the United Nations was preceded by another speech just at home to our Congress and Senate. And it was a follow-up to our secret mission with the Russians called Phobos 2. Phobos 2, named after one of the moons of Mars called Phobos, which is suspected to be artificial because its orbit is retrograde around the planet instead of the normal orbit that all satellites have naturally around their planets. And so the Russians attempted a Phobos 1, and it just didn't work. And so we got involved with them. We sent it up with them secretly, Phobos 2. And Phobos 2, after touring Mars a little bit, went on to the satellite, and while it was taking photographs on its approach going into orbit of the satellite, something appeared, a giant shadow over the surface of Mars is visible on one of the last photographs, and then Phobos 2's knocked out of commission. Something knocked it out of commission. It did not want it to probe any closer to that satellite because it is artificial and it's actually hollow. And it was going towards one of the major openings on that hollow end. And so that's what that speech was all about. And of course, it could be used by the globalists for this harmonization, unification scheme that they're trying to get us all to go along with, that we all have to get along and work and be dependent on each other, that kind of nonsense, and in a global country way, business way. And so, Kenneth, that's where that speech, why that speech came about.
Do you know where I could find that information at, on that satellite?
Yes, one source for sure would be Zechariah Sitchin's book.
The 12th Planet, are you thinking?
It's one of those series. I'm trying to, which one with the Phobos incident? But it's in one of Zechariah's chronicles on the 12th Planet series, and there is a photograph of the surface of Mars showing this huge elliptical shadow cast over the surface of Mars. It's in that book as well, and that would be one way of finding that. It might have been Genesis Revisited. I can't recall which particular one it is.
Okay. All right. Just let y'all get back to doing your talking. I do want to say, when you get time, one time you do a show, Don, I'd like to know about how you met up with the men from outer space.
Actually, he's from America, but the one that calls in from outer space.
Yeah.
General Jeremiah, yeah.
Right.
Make sure you give your information to Drew so he can pass it on to me, okay?
I gave it to him.
All right. Okay. Thanks for calling in, Ken.
All right, thank you.
All right, have a good night. Interesting call. That gentleman has a lot of interesting things to say, too, about his own life story. So we'll talk about that in the future, I'm sure. You and I, Michael.
Okay, great.
Great. Great question, though.
Yes.
And great comments, too. Now, we got a I'm getting text message here like crazy. So I'm going to – this doesn't always happen. This is when I hooked up with the Marines. This is happening, okay? They're watching
Welcome
what's going on.
And God bless you guys.
Okay, now, I'm going to share this with the listeners. Novartis is to launch a strategic biomedical R&D center in Shanghai and have built an integrated biomedical research and development center in the Shanghai's Zhang High Tech Park. Now, my Chinese is not that good, but at least you can tell this is in China, okay? This individual says massive, to say the least, and high-tech with extreme security and compartmentalized operations with thousands of Chinese working 24/7, four shifts per day in six-hour shift, 6 days on, 1 day off. So it sounds like the Chinese are making some vaccines. Now, the article that I wrote yesterday and posted on my site is getting thousands of hits, and I pulled a piece of information about daylight chemical information systems off of a Chinese website. I thought that was significant because it instantly shows the connection to what this gentleman just talked about. And I wrote a short piece. It's the crux of the information is something that has to develop, and that's why I wrote it like I did. You see, people are coming forth with additional information which supports what I said. You see, and we all discover the truth together. So
that's right.
My hat
always has to be verified, and then it establishes itself as fact.
Yes. So I wanted to thank the Marine out there that sent that message in. Our hats are off to you, and thank you for your service to our country and to the world. That's important information there.
Yes. God bless you guys. And, Don, let me say real quick to Kenneth listening and everybody else that right after that speech with Reagan, what came about? Star Wars technology.
Oh, yeah.
Star Wars technology. And on the end of Richard Hoagland's video on the monuments of Mars, some of the releases had extra film footage, NASA footage of Star Wars technology being applied towards UFO targets hovering on the rim of our planet. And that was all clear as all could be on film. You see a brilliant, bright flash coming down off the surface of the Earth from way out in space. You see a brilliant, bright flash, and you see these luminous disks just gliding around out in space on the rim of the planet. You see the sun starting to rise up around the horizon. You see this brilliant flash of light. Then you see UFO just streak out super fast away, out into space, away from the flash. So I just recalled that, and I wanted to throw that in there.
Okay. Now you referred to Zechariah Sitchin's work, and it's monumental work in a way, and yet my gut reaction to some of it is that there's a bit of fiction in there, and think of Arthur Clarke. Okay, Arthur Clarke certainly knew what was going on in space, and yet his works were treated as fiction. I got an email recently from one of our listeners, John, in Nova Scotia, was asking if I could talk to General Jeremiah, or the next time I talk to him, and clarify the issue of the planet Nibiru, or Planet X, and whether or not it's in orbit around our sun. The definitive answer that I bring forth, and General Jeremiah, is no. The planet does not exist whatsoever. Okay? Trust that, and you'll eventually come to see that. Predictions that it's going to appear at our southern hemisphere are exaggerations or disinformation intended to create fear and to divert your attention to other things that are going on. So the general premise it debunks a lot of Sitchin's work on that premise. But also, some people think that Sitchin was sponsored by the Vatican. And the Vatican has a certain interest in some of the planets around our solar system. There was speculation that they may take the satellite, trying to think of the name of it now. It's named after one of their astronomers, an Italian astronomer.
Cassini?
Yeah, Cassini. And thank you. I almost said casino, and that's wrong. See, it's always the money thing. Cassini is carrying, I can't remember if it's 17 ounces or 17 pounds of plutonium, but it's enough that if they crash it into the planet, we're speaking of Saturn, that'll be quite a dramatic event, and then they can bring in their new world order. They have a fascination with Saturn. Saturn is the planet attributed to Satan.
That's right.
Okay. So there are those out there. How can you say this? How can you say such a thing? Read some of the books where they talk about the issues that go on in the catacombs in the Vatican, and you'll understand what this is about. But they have an interest in these things, and they have concordats with governments all over the world. If they don't go along with these concordats, they sick the armies of the world on them. And you have terror, and you have war, and the media can conveniently make any kind of claim they want about it. Now, the individual, John from Nova Scotia, also asked about information regarding periodic pole shifts or periodic timelines, profound earth changes, and what the general might see for our future. The general is basically going to say what any of those of us here on the planet are discerning. Okay? If you're aligned with God and you trust that God is the creator of the universe and that you are here to experience life on his behalf, not on the behalf of dark evil forces, then you will begin to see the truth yourself. We all have that capability within us, John, and those of you out there listening. And this goes way beyond some people's experience or their knowledge, so they think we're talking about fictional things here. But pole shifts have occurred on the Earth, and when they do happen, they are earthly events. The universe is a grid or multidimensional grid of different energy forces that are designed to work together in conjunction with each other. Whenever mankind does anything destructive on the earth, we impede those natural processes that occur. Light, for instance. Light is known as information. We transmit information via light sources today, which is why we have fiber optics. And it's using that principle, but it's using it in a very restrictive way. There are grid forces that keep the Earth and other planets in their orbit and hold galaxies together or solar systems together. And so can we disrupt that? Absolutely we can. If they set off all the nuclear weapons we have on this planet, it would destroy not only us, but those doing the deed. So,
okay, Doc, can I just jump in quick?
Sure, sure.
I don't know about Planet X. Still not sure. One thing is for certain. Something caused all the planets in our solar system to become tilted. And that's one of the curiosities that needs an explanation. Even the huge planets like Jupiter and Neptune, they're all tilted over. And what it's like something bowled into everything. And they're all crater marked. Now, is it all due to the asteroid belt? What is known as the asteroid belt today was a planet that was orbiting the sun, and it blew up, either due to something synthetic created by the inhabitants of the planet, like nuclear technology, or something natural hit it and made it blow up, and that explosion, that disruption of the planet caused the chaos in the entire solar system all the way out, even impacting the larger planets. That's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I stand on that so far. I just not sure, but something caused all that to happen. And it's very possible that this other planet was inhabited and they developed nuclear technology. And they had an evil inclination and used it destructively, just like what's going on here. Are these people that are developing, all these mad scientists today that are developing these technologies of death, are they reincarnations of these evil, wicked beings from that other planet?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not ruling that out.
Yeah, yeah. Those demonic forces don't move into the higher realms. You know, they become anchored to this dimension or the dimensions that are accessible to them, and they can only do their deeds when they're invited into the dimension, and they do this through their rituals. They can inhabit a person. We know that. We've seen demonic possession. They make movies about it, and mm-hmm. and they can actually induce this in an individual. That's what the Montauk Project is all about. But I can tell you, the word from the United Galactic Federation is that the planet does not exist. Okay, that for me. They've been making many predictions that have come true, and they're even looking at my work and seeing where my predictions have come true, and they value my assessment on things going on here, and I tend to value those that they know about in other parts of the universe.
I'm just keeping an open mind, pal.
Yeah.
I'm not ruling anything out, but I'm not closing the doors yet on anything either regarding this particular...
But I find it rather interesting, in light of what Planet X is supposed to be able to do, that the Vatican late last year, came out with a video that they showed to Cristofalo Barbato and another individual who was acting as his spokesman. And they interviewed, Project Camelot interviewed this individual, and, he couldn't say anything other than, show this close-up photo of the planet. Now, if the planet has that capacity to destroy or to put all of the planets in the solar system out of tilt, what would it do to, a satellite trying to take a picture of it? It would obliterate it, yet, you know, they show this obviously fudged photo of a planet. It where they claimed it was, it was verified that it was not there. So it can only be a hoax.
I don't know. I just don't know. Supposedly that's why they constructed the Hubble telescope years back,
mm-hmm.
which was major big budget.
Yeah.
Supposedly it was all primarily to key in on the orbiting of this planet as on its approach.
Yes.
So I'm keeping an open mind, Don. I just don't know.
You can do that. I'm not asking you to believe me, right? I don't ask anyone to believe me.
Well, you see, only, you know, you have to keep an open mind when you're not sure on things instead of keeping a closed mind, which will get you nowhere. And, but you know, in the beginning when I was talking with the general, he wasn't familiar with Valiant Thor either.
Actually, he was.
But, well, he wasn't, and I'm not knocking the general, he's a great guy, but I recall he wasn't familiar with him. And I was surprised, because I even said, this Valiant Thor case seems totally legitimate from all that I've studied on it. And so, but now, yes, I know, you're saying that the general acknowledges Valiant Thor, and so I'm keeping an open mind on this Planet X thing. I'm just not ruling it out. I don't know yet.
Okay. All right. That's fine. You're entitled to do that. Now, there's another question that came from a listener. And, Michael, you know a lot about all the different crafts. In fact, we're not going to call them UFOs. We're going to call them IFOs, Identified Flying Objects. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you had sent me, a year and a half ago about... some really interesting photos of Nazi crafts. And I posted those on my website. In fact, anyone that wants to see these, there's some interesting photos of planets, other planets on my website. Also galaxies and constellations and you just have to go there and look at all the photos. But right away when I put those photos up, people said, oh, that's from a movie set. And we laughed, and I said, okay, what movie? Name the movie. I mean, who would go to that expense to create such a craft and not put it in a movie? You haven't seen that in a movie. I was speaking about the Vril craft that you sent me some photos of.
Sure, the Nazis.
They're huge craft, and those craft had gun turrets on them. They were not designed to go out beyond the atmosphere here. You couldn't do it the way those craft were built.
Well, the Varil was their more advanced stage as they began to develop anti-gravity craft. And so, yeah, at that stage, they were all terrestrial.
Yes.
And, in activity.
But on my site, I also have an image of a blue craft. That picture was taken over Italy. And, I mean, it looks like something from Close Encounters. It's actually more beautiful than that. And it's one of the United Galactic Federation craft. And so anyone that wants to see a craft, it's a great picture. And it reveals a lot about the technology. And you're talking about a very advanced race of people. There are people just like us. They just happen to come from another place. And there's nothing ridiculous about this except the knowledge, the awareness of that fact foils the plans of the New World Order cabal, because they would like to see themselves as the ultimate replacement of the God that created the universe. These people are that demented that they put themselves above God, and they want us to worship them like God, or they'll just get rid of us. Well, it's an illness. It's a serious illness that they suffer from.
It's called lack of soul.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. And the issue, Michael, also came up. I was on Drew Rain's show today, and we brought this issue up because there is a shadow government, and there are those that control everybody. And we have stem cell research, and we've had the eugenics program, which has been funded under the auspices of the Rockefeller Foundation for Human Studies. And they had genetic research going on. Dr. Joseph Mengele, who you mentioned earlier, has been involved in this. And this is a very satanic organization, hell-bent on recreating hybrids. And if you were to do the math, if they're trying to get rid of 6.2 billion people and leave 500 million on the planet to do their dirty deeds for them, to kowtow to their every whim, then we are likely looking at the possibility of just a society of hybrids.
Well, you know, Don, this brings you right into the Lucifer connection. Lucifer rebelled against God because Lucifer was a mighty angel and so powerful, a lot of angels that served Lucifer thought he was God. And he was active as a creator God for God Almighty. Got to a point at some duration of creation where Lucifer wanted to take shortcuts, thinking that he could get the end result that God wanted quicker by taking shortcuts with creation. But God said, no, don't you do that. I have the perfect way, and the results will be perfect. You take those shortcuts, going to cause problems. Well, Lucifer didn't want to believe that, and he had to prove it to himself. And, of course, with the shortcuts, problems came about, and it's called the fall. And so here you have these evil controllers right now doing the same thing for the bidding of their lord, Lucifer. See, the Nazis, a lot of people may not be aware that the Nazis' primary motivation was creating a Superman for a 1,000-year reign, Golden Age. And that's why they got into genetics, and they figured the blonde blue eyes would be the prototype based on all of their theories and studies. The Aryan race was the latest and greatest of God's inventions of human species. And so they were after Superman, and now that's where we are. The Nazis never died. The war ended under false pretenses, because they went underground over here primarily and in communist Russia, and they continued on with this project of trying to create these hybrid men that they would deem would be supermen. And that's exactly what you're talking about right now.
So it's not far-fetched then when you talk about what they're planning on doing with vaccines, when you talk about them creating a being in a lab, we know that it was done with frogs at least since 1952. And they're pushing this. I mean, I brought this up today to a listener in Russia who didn't agree with everything I was saying, and probably when we got into the topics we're talking right now, and I said, you know, don't worry about it, but look at what's going on. You know, they're harvesting organs, and so they know how to keep them alive and reattach them in other beings. And, you know, we hear horrific stories of what's going on. I forget the name of the religious organization that's being persecuted in China, but these people are imprisoned, and when they need a liver, they just take it. When they need a set of eyeballs, they take it. Mm-hmm. If they can, you know, it's like this. If you can rebuild a car with spare parts or you know, replacement parts that you go to a store to buy, you can also manufacture a car from scratch, from the beginning. Now, if you can rebuild a human body with spare parts, don't you think they know how to build the being from scratch?
Well, they've been developing it. I mean, there was also a lot of laboratory experiments where they're growing ears, human ears, on mice. And then they could just remove the ear and transplant it.
I've seen ears that look like that on Michael Rockefeller's pictures that I've analyzed Three Stooges, Part 7B.
It's crazy science. And that corresponds and correlates to how, just like Lucifer trying to take shortcuts, which caused nothing but problems, now you have these evil controllers, soulless creatures running our planet for Lucifer, and with their shortcuts trying to create a Superman, instead of letting God do it through the way that Jesus taught. Because who was the Superman that we can all relate to? Jesus the Christ. The guy walked on water, raised the dead, raised himself from the dead. Nothing could harm this guy unless he allowed himself to be harmed. And that's a Superman. And so the Lord taught us how to become like him, true sons and daughters of God, immortals again, because that's all it comes down to. Like I always said from the beginning, friend, immortality is the key to everything. This is what drives everybody in the science technical fields, especially with the controllers. But with God's way of immortality, it's a natural process through nature. God's creation nature. That's what the Lord taught us. But they want to take the shortcuts and use technology to make a Superman. And, of course, the results will be disastrous, and we're all going to be in a lot of trouble if they get away, you know, keep developing this and trying to pull it off.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Michael, not that I want to jump around here, but I'm getting IMs from some military personnel around the world. And we've got some breaking news here that the former president of Italy is calling for an international investigation for the 9/11 attack on the USA. He says it appears that it was a government false flag event. Well, we've been saying that for how many years now? 8 years? Mm-hmm. In another month, it'll be 8 years. And The idea was to bring us into a world war with just outright lies. The ex-Italian president says that 9/11 was a CIA Mossad operation. Now, I'm in agreement with that. Dr. Kasem Khalil, who wrote the book Wrongly Blamed, is in agreement with that, as well as many others. I have a translation. This is it's described as an awkward translation into English. Cossiga told the newspaper Corriere della Sera, all the intelligence services of America and Europe know well that the disastrous attack has been planned and realized from the Mossad with the aid of the Zionist world in order to put under accusation the Arabic countries and in order to induce the Western powers to take part in Iraq and Afghanistan. I talked about that in a general sense on the show with Drew Raines today, so I'm in agreement. Now, Cossiga was elected president of the Italian Senate in July 1983 before winning a landslide election to become president of the country in 1985, and he remained until 1992. Coming from a widely respected former head of state, Kosiga's assertion that the 9/11 attacks were an inside job and that this is common knowledge among global intelligence agencies is illuminating. It is one more eye-opening confirmation that has not been mentioned by America's propaganda machine in print or on TV. Well, we agree with that. Nevertheless,
Rockefeller Media.
Yes, nevertheless, because of his experience and status in the world, Kosiga cannot be discounted as the crackpot. And to add to that, neither can we.
Sure. That's how they'll frame it.
Yes, there was a German diplomat that came out right after 9/11, was very outspoken about it, and said that we knew about that. Christopher Story has written about it, that he had gotten that from an intel source who was put in prison to stop that information from coming out. And Christopher Story himself has written about that issue many times, and very recently as well. Three or four articles back at his worldreports.org website. By the way, I have those articles posted on my news page for anyone that would like to read them and find out about all the financial corruption that's going on around the world, because it all ties in. These things are distractions. And I might add to anyone out there who follows false flag events, if you know anything about numerology, you can add up the dates by month and day, add up the numerical values, and then add the digits together in the year, and you will come up with who is likely responsible for those events. I did this on a show last week, and for instance, you could take the Bali nightclub bombing and take the numbers that are derived from the date October 12th, 2002. October 12th works out to a 10 plus 12 or 22, and take the two digits in 2002, set them beside each other, and you have another 22. 22 plus 22 equals 44. It identifies the person, okay? And we know that this person was in Bali in the early 1990s, by the way. You take the date 9/11/2001. Add 20, which you get from 9 and 11. Add 20 to 21, and you get 41. Who was the 41st president, Michael?
Herr Bush.
Yeah, or Scherf. Herr Scherf,
old,
actually.
Old Kraut, right?
Yes, the old old Kraut is his nickname.
Mm-hmm.
And his real name is Scherf, of course.
Right.
But his alias is Bush. Sort of, we have a character like that right now. The long-legged Mac Daddy in the White House is doing the same thing with double and triple names.
Sure, and apparently multiple Social Security numbers as well.
Oh yes. Now I did the numerology on the USS Kolb, which, by the way, was also October 12th, Columbus's birthday, and that adds up to a 42. Who was the 42nd president? Well, of course, that was
Slick Willie, of course.
Slick Willie, okay? And that, is it a coincidence that those numbers add up like that? You see, with these people, they are so dark and so evil that they have to make this a ritual.
Well, that's true. That's true. But rituals bring a certain type of power.
Well, yeah.
Magic. Rituals are associated with magic, but magic is science, and that's what a lot of people just don't get. Magic is science. In ancient times, science was called magic. Mm-hmm. Wizards and magicians were scientists.
Now, there are a lot of people out there claiming that they're into white magic, but magic is magic. When you get into those areas, there are realms where, you know, we were talking about these grids before. These grids intersect with each other. Nothing is cut and dry, separated from everything else. You know, you can look at the sunlight. There are waves of sunlight that we don't see because they're beyond our ability to see those wavelengths. ultraviolet rays is a perfect example. And yet, we say that if the clouds are out there, that no light is hitting the earth, and we know that that's not true. The question is, are the ultraviolet rays getting magnified, or are they being obscured by the clouds? Well, you can get sunburn on a cloudy day if you stay out and the intensity is right, and the clouds are the right type of cloud. You can still get sunburn on an overcast day. It happens all over the world. So, you know, when we're talking about these different realms of existence, multidimensionality and that, and these evil forces, they tend to go to where they have a place where they can wreak their havoc. And so they will attack the spiritual people. They will attack. You want to get attacked by demons, turn to God. But trust God. Trust that in turning to God, that God is going to protect you. That is your armor. That is your shield. And these things cannot touch you. But it's when you're dabbling in them, just out of curiosity, we hear all these cases of possession with kids playing with a Ouija board or something that they've seen from some adult who didn't take the time or even the forethought to let them know that this would be dangerous. You know, what do we call that? Irresponsibility? You know?
Yes. Well, magic is science. And what science is simply the manipulation of natural forces. And so, of course, rudimentary science that we grow up in the world today, we take for granted. We're manipulating all kind of natural forces all the time. We take it for granted. However, magic is manipulation of supernatural forces.
Mm-hmm.
And what supernature is, isn't really understood by many either. But that's what happens. So you don't want to mess around with fire if you can't handle it yet, because you can get burned. And that's what happens to people that start to try to dabble in supernatural forces and thinking they can manipulate, control them, or somehow use them. Without understanding what it's really all about, they get in trouble. And that's a Ouija board, for example.
Yeah. Now, you know, I'm not trying to make, you know, people be fearful or anything like that, but you have to understand how these things work. And that certainly those that use them, those that created them with that in mind. There's a lot of symbology on a Ouija board. If you look, there are things that you don't even understand. Symbols that are there to draw certain types of energy, to attract the same vibration.
That's right. It's all ancient knowledge designed into that board.
Yes. And let's say going off a little bit on a tangent, but still in that same realm of directing this energy. You know, you have to ask yourself, what would propel or inspire people, or anyone for that matter, whether they're people or not, what would drive them to want to dig up a mummy and look at it? I mean, what does one expect to see but a decayed corpse, or a corpse that's in suspended animation because it may have been sitting in a pyramid where it was preserved?
Mm-hmm.
Knowing what you know about what's going on in microbiology today, what do you think one reason for digging up a corpse, let's say in mummy form of a?
Well, sure, Don. I mean, today with the technology available, they can really advance genetic sciences, and so I'm, you know, not just mummies, but even supposed prehistoric creatures,
mm-hmm.
which is all ridiculous theories as well. They're not millions of years old, but nonetheless, when they're finding remnants of, say, mammoths,
mm-hmm.
right? Like up in Russia.
Yes.
And so they're trying to clone them from cells, from the DNA.
They're trying to clone them, right?
That's a fact.
Okay. I've proffered that theory in my Three Stooges Part 7 A and B. and you're just adding fuel to the fire.
This is where we are today.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not as far-fetched as it may seem to people. It's just that it's something that they can't grasp their minds around if it's outside their realm of experience or outside their knowledge. But it's merely a matter of knowledge, isn't it?
Yes, it is, among those that know.
Well, now we opened the show talking about this charade of a flu pandemic. And I'm not saying that they haven't created a biological weapon, okay, and that they intend to leash it upon us.
Yes.
But in terms of the fact that this goes on in laboratories, we know that they can dig up dead bodies that have been exposed to the 1918 swine flu or virtually any disease they choose. And they can combine it with virtually any kind of DNA that they choose to get the proper reaction that they want. So imagine that these evil, unconscionable experiments have been going on for at least 100 years, if not longer.
Mm-hmm.
And we're at the stage now where they want to unleash all of this technology that has been designed with specific purposes, possibly even alien DNA.
And just consider all the, not just people they experimented on, but all the thousands and probably millions of animals that they've kidnapped and enslaved in their laboratories just to experiment on them. I mean, how pathetic these kind of people could be.
So
they're evil. They're evil to the core. And you can never underestimate what they're up to.
Yes. Now, it's so perverse that it's really the dichotomy of the creation, or what's found in nature. So
very Luciferian.
Yeah. So within that statement I just made, there are solutions for people's health. There are ways that people support themselves. And
sure,
why don't you take a couple of minutes in our closing moments here. Take a couple of minutes and share some of your philosophy in that area.
Well, Don, as I stated earlier, that it's through God's nature that we evolve the way the Lord taught us, where our divine self becomes us. Our immortal nature will crystallize within our being. Now, the Lord is good, and He intends that all His creatures have well-being. Well-being means health. And so we're designed to have health. We're not designed to be sickly. And the only way to maintain that health is staying close to Mother Nature. And I've been fortunate to have a very close relationship with Mother Nature and all through the Lord. And so I have been able to sustain incredible optimum health, so much so that I'm finding good friends getting jealous of me now as the years have gone by, because they can't do anything and I'm still doing everything like I'm a kid. And so the key is the diet. And regardless of what people may think, I'm sorry, the facts of science are that a vegetarian diet is the only way to have optimum health. Now, just because you're a vegetarian doesn't mean you're going to be healthy. But in order to have optimum health, you must be a vegetarian. That's just how it works. And then, in addition to that diet, the utilization of the key technology that's on the planet from God. It's an organic technology, and they're called herbs. They are incredible bundles of compounds that are very rare. Besides minerals and vitamins and enzymes, they all possess various compounds that are very, very rare, and they have one explicit purpose. They're beneficial to animals, to people and animals. Those compounds aren't even utilized by the plant itself. What does that tell you?
It tells you God
is good.
God created those for our benefit.
That's just like in the Bible says, God is good. And so that's how easy it is. And that's why they want Codex Alimentarius, because these commie Nazi UN Luciferians don't want us healthy. And they're going to try to take us away from our connection to nature. Now, city people have lost that connection in general. They, when you grow up in a strictly urban environment, you're cut off from Mother Nature, and that's why they like urban environment dwellings for people.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, all those that have discovered Mother Nature to whatever degree, they're trying to separate us from her, telling us that we are not allowed to have red clover that grows in your backyard, or dandelion, or carrots. So they're very pathetic. And so that's how it's all done. It's very easy. Now, Don, a fan of your show, by the name of Michael, he contacted me recently for another order, and he was experiencing flu pneumonia-like symptoms a while back when he contacted me after being on your show. And he told me today, he says he's feeling great, and he would like to get some more products. And so my infection killer is what I set him up with, along with the lung formula for any kind of pneumonia type of symptoms. And my infection killer, Don, has proven itself in the field time and time again. I mean, we're talking over a couple hundred cases now over the years, just infection killer alone. Never fails to wipe out any form of infection. And that's what keeps me smiling every day when I hear about the pandemic flu coming out from the Rockefeller media with all the hype and fear. I just laugh and say, when everybody's dropping, I'm just going to be walking around totally fine, and everybody's going to be stunned saying, how come this guy looks totally fine? And that'll be because of my infection killer. And now at this stage of events where we are, as time went on, and I realized why the Lord was so good to me with setting me up with this closeness with nature and understanding the secrets to health and formulating these beautiful formulas, it was more so for what's coming now than even back then, just helping people with routine infections like the flus or even MS, which isn't routine. And then Lyme, as Lyme came about, as they released Lyme probably from Plum Island. But any other normal infection that was common, like even with animals, with parvo and things like that, deworming parasites, killing off all parasites. But it's obvious now that's what the Lord already intended, having this available for these times now, because infection killer will protect. I thank God for this stuff all the time. It's just truly a wonder. And everybody that uses it, they know it's like supernatural activity. And it really is.
Yeah. Well, now, so what you're alluding to here is that people don't have to wait for a pandemic. In other words, they can build up their immune system, and they can be healthy and happy and go about their lives without this paranoia of catching something.
Yes, you'll always know that you're safe. And when you have that knowledge is power, you're going to feel great. And you're only going to feel sorry for all those that don't have access to it, number one. And but at the same time, you'll know you can help as many people as you can when you have it. And when you come across somebody you care about and, you know, they're suffering from some kind of infection, you just give them some infection killer, bam. The only thing is, always make sure there's no constipation in the system, because the herbal formulas are food and it requires digestion, and therefore the stomach has to be functioning quite well in order for the formulas to perform quickly. And that's the only criteria. Always make sure the circulation, the digestive tract is open and moving and there's good circulation, good digestion, and you'll never have to worry about the formulas not working quickly.
Yeah, and those are available on my website on the sponsors page. Just look at Michael Anthony, click on that, and my website is directlightproductions.com for those who joined in late. And I can vouch for those, especially with the summer and your dragon juice. I told you how much trouble I have keeping it around the studio when I've got people recording. What you got to drink? I got dragon juice. It's gone. A gallon is gone in five seconds.
I'm going to have to send quite a bit over, Don.
So, you know, people sing your praises for those formulas, and I want to let people know about that.
Thank you.
We just recommend people check them out. You know, if you don't like them, I mean, you know, I know you guarantee their satisfaction.
Sure. I do my best.
And I get raves from everybody that tells me that they're trying them out. So.
Yes, that's great to hear. And I know I can't go far without it, especially in the summertime. It's pure power and very, very healthy. So thanks, Don, for that, the promotion on that. But, yes, these formulas, they're all really great, and I'm very fortunate to have them in my possession.
You know, it's interesting to hear you mention dandelions, too, because my buddy Drew Raines has a sponsor for his show and his website, Mary Joan Mondello's Herbs. He's raving about her dandelion tea. And and that's just more confirmation that that people are benefiting from these things. And
absolutely,
we know that the pharmaceutical cabal can't stand the fact that they're the truth about the toxicity of their creations is coming out. People are learning to listen and pay attention and understand that we're not fear mongering. We're warning them. You know, we're telling people. Stop drinking the tap water. If you have to drink tap water, have it tested and find out what's in it. You'd be amazed at the thousands of substances in there that are toxic.
Yes, Don. I mean, can't say enough about do not drink tap water. Please, people, don't trust them. Even though it looks clear and it has no taste, believe me, it's so contaminated. And there is a filter system that's sold at Home Depot. It's called Zero Water, XeroWater.com. Check them out because that's the one I've been using for years, Don. And if you use rainwater as a source, it's distilled water that comes out of this cartridge without any electricity. It's distilled water equivalent, but it's gravity-fed system. It's a standalone, doesn't cost anything, just pour the water through it. It's a phenomenal filter. I've been using them for many, many years now. And the key is clean source water so your cartridge lasts a long time and it's not expensive to make high-quality natural water the way God intended it. And that's the cheapest, most efficient way to go. There's other great water filters. I think, if anything, you want a Berkey. If you don't have good source water like rainwater, and you got to go through, you have to use real crap water as your source, run it through a Berkey first because that's a great filter, but it doesn't get everything totally removed down parts per million like it does with the Zero Water. And then run that water through the Zero Water, and you'll be able to make water dirt cheap no matter what the source is. And that's how you protect yourself when it comes to water. Heed Don's warning right there. The tap water is poison.
Yep, and it's got a lot of the stuff in it that probably going to be in those swine flu vaccinations too. I'm sure.
Well, I won't be surprised.
All right. Well, Michael Anthony, we are out of time. I hate to say goodnight, but we have to do that. We got to let our engineer go home and get his beauty sleep. Thanks for being on the show on such short notice. I did have a last-minute cancellation.
Always a pleasure, Don. Thank you for inviting.
You're always there. I know how hard you're working these days, and I appreciate you staying up late to talk to our listeners. Look forward to your next appearance on the show. As you know, I'm booked up solid through the month, but we're going to have you on again soon in early September. So I
look forward to it very much. Thank you, Don.
Okay.
It's always a pleasure.
All right, folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com as well as Wind Talkers Radio Network and BlogTalkRadio.com. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and also you folks out there in the listening audience. Now, my guest for tomorrow night is going to be none other than the notorious Drew Malone Raines III. And I want to urge you to tune in to tomorrow night's show. It's going to be another barn burner. We've been having a lot of those lately. So be tuning in at the same time, same place, same station. to the listening audience out there, thank you for tuning in. Have a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.